Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting at this time. We would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2021 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations, therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligations to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference for the results for the third quarter of 2021. We will start with the financial review, and if you can go to page four, we can talk about the highlights of the quarter. Revenues were $1.7 billion. That is a 9.6% quarter-over-quarter. Our net income was $512 million. That is 154% more than the last quarter. Our EBITDA was $923 million. That is a 70% quarter-over-quarter. We have a progress in the MAPA project of 90% as of October 21st. Our net debt to EBITDA went down to 2x from almost 3x last quarter. Also, we accounted for the results of the sales of the forestry assets that came to a pre-tax income of $230 million. We will be talking about this during the presentation. If we can go to page five and talk a little bit about the revenues. We had almost 10% increase compared to the previous quarter, and this is explained basically by an increase of about $100 million in the wood products division. That is 12%. That is mainly due to almost 9% increase in average prices. In the pulp division, we had an increase of $50 million, which is driven by a 5.5% increase in volume, offset by a small decrease in average prices. You can see in the graph below that the wood products division accounted for 55% of the sales of Arauco during the quarter. In terms of cost of sales, we had an increase of 4%, and this is basically explained by some unit cost increases in chemicals and fuels, but also an increase in volume that we talked about previously. You can see that our cost of sales went up to $923 million. In terms of unit cost, we saw decreases of 5% in softwood, an increase of 1.6% in hardwood, and a small decrease in unbleached, and a 7% increase in dissolving pulp, explained by lower production during the quarter in this project. Moving on to page six, we can show a decrease of $13 million or 8.5% in administrative expenses. That is explained basically by the other administrative expenses, some decreases in wage, salaries, and severance indemnities, and some decreases in computer services, mainly because of some one-time payments done in the second quarter of this year. In terms of distribution cost, we saw an increase of 14.5%, and this is explained by a higher unit cost in freight, basically, and also the increases in volume of sales that we already talked. Our distribution costs were $182 million this quarter compared to $160 million last quarter. Page 7, we have a big increase in other income, and this is where we accounted for the sale of the forestry assets that we already talked, $230 million pre-tax. That's why we went from $45 million to $285 million in this line of the income statement. Other expenses, we increased to $53 million from $33 million, and the explanation of this is basically an impairment provision for in the line of property, plant, and equipment, and basically older and obsolete spare parts. We did a review of the non-strategic spare parts that had no movement after 5 years, and we made an impairment for that of about $20 million. That is the main explanation of the other expenses line. Page 8, the view of the complete net income statement. You can see there the net income of $511 million. The lines that we haven't reviewed, financial income going up from 7.6 to 8.2, reflecting higher cash balance, financial cost going down, 8% lower debt, basically. We had a better results in the line of participation or profits of joint venture and associates, basically explained by a good result in our the company Sonae Arauco, that explained the $20 million. We had a positive exchange rate differences going from a negative 5.2 to a positive $11 million, basically because of the movement of the exchange rates. And also, of course, an increase in income tax because of the better result pre-tax that we have in the company. So very good results, $511 million of positive income in the quarter. Page 9, and looking into the evolution of EBITDA, of course, a very good EBITDA of 923. That is a very good percentage increase, 54% margin. Of course, this, we had the one-time effect of the 229. If we take that out, the EBITDA would have been almost $700 million. That is about 41% EBITDA margin, which is also very good, going from 35 to 41%, taking out that effect. The 229 are accounted in the pulp division, where we concentrate the forestry business. And also the wood pulp division had a $338 million EBITDA, which is also very good. So the change from one quarter to the other is explained by an increase of 83 in wood products and 284 in pulp. With those, of course, 229 are explained by the one-time effect of the sale of forestry. Now, if we go to each business segment, starting in page 11 with pulp, we can see, first of all, the evolution of prices, the index of prices, and we can see that starting from the end of the quarter, we are seeing decreases in the prices of pulp. And going especially in both fiber, especially in short fiber. And we can see also that the spread of between both fibers went down from $200 per ton the last conference call to $172 in this this quarter, at the end of the quarter. In terms of demand and shipment, we saw a 5% decrease in the global shipments of chemical pulp. The main impact here is China, decreasing 9% from 1 year to the other in the 10 months accumulated. In terms of stock, we saw an increase in stock that during the quarter, but a decrease at the end of the month in September. And now we have a days of supply of 45 days in softwood and 44 days in hardwood. Page 12, looking at the results of the division, we already talked about the impact of the forestry sales. Without that, the EBITDA of the pulp division would have been $385 million. That is 17% more than the previous quarter. And you can see there the effects. We had a 5.5% increase in volume and 2% decrease in price. If you compare it to 1 year ago, volume is 2.3% less, but price is 66% higher. Okay. In terms of production, you can see there that we produced and sold more than last quarter, but the difference between production and sales was about 90,000 tons in the quarter, so that is an increase in stock. That now is about 45 days production in the quarter. In terms of demand, demand remained more or less stable, but at the end of the quarter, we saw some decrease, particularly in Asia. So in China, basically because of the energy consumption limitations imposed by the government, we had some decrease in demand that produced decreases in prices. Tissue started to improve, and printing and writing remained stable. At the end of the quarter, DSKP, so long fiber prices, remained steady, but the HKP hardwood decreased. In Europe, the situation was different. The demand and prices remain at high levels by the end of the quarter, but some of the producers started to be affected by high energy prices in Europe. Dissolving pulp remained stable, with prices slightly decreasing due to lower demand. We can see the prices at the end of the quarter in September were $1,010 for dissolving pulp, $860 for softwood, and $655 for hardwood. This is prices in China, net prices. Page 13, now looking at the outlook, now getting into the fourth quarter, the uncertainty created by energy restriction continued affected hardwood and softwood during Q4, and prices continued to go down. We can see there in the graph that prices in China reached at the end of, in November, $565 per ton in hardwood, coming down from $650, and softwood, $710, but the prices were close to $800. We saw a small reduction also in dissolving pulp to $950. Okay, so we expect that prices will continue to go down a little bit, but the reductions in hardwood should be lower than possibly softwood, and that decreasing a little bit the spread between both fibers. In Europe, the market continues to be good, low inventories and very good demand. It's from China because of logistics bottlenecks that are cannot move volume from China to Europe. So we should have some good markets still in Europe for some time. And regarding the dissolving pulp, we saw a decline in Q3 and continued to Q4. This is basically because some raw materials going up, some raw material costs in fiber and producers are reducing production. In terms of maintenance and our skill for that, we can see that in Q3 we had only maintenance for less mill for 22 days. We don't have any stoppage program for Q4. And in Q1 we will begin with the Constitution mill and the Montesquieu mill for 15. Now moving to wood product, again, a very strong quarter with a 30% increase in EBITDA, almost $340 million, so reaching record levels in terms of EBITDA margins and results. Again, we saw a 10%, almost an 11% increase in prices for panels and a 15% increase in prices for solid wood. In terms of volume, a 2% increase in panels and a decrease of 2% in solid wood. If we look at a year ago, prices are 31% over the in panels and almost 50% in solid wood. So the sales continue to be good, high levels. The demand is very strong for products of home improvement and remodeling in all of our markets. In solid wood, also we are seeing strong demand and prices, especially in remanufactured wood products. The only problem in demand that we've seen is some reduction in China, again affected by the slower PVD that we've seen in China. In plywood, also sales volume increased by 6.5% and average prices by almost 10%. Again, very good demand for this type of product in most of our markets. We had some logistical issues from Chile, causing some invoicing delays in plywood. In page 15, we can see the volumes of sales and production, very steady and good volume in Tallinn through all the year. In some timber, we saw very good production, some decrease in sales, again, because of shipping delays coming from the ports in Chile, basically, that we expect to recover in the coming quarters. Plywood, an increase in sales from 127,000 cubic meters to 135,000 cubic meters, and again, very good production. Now going to look, page 16, North America would represent 55% of our sales. We are seeing continued strong demand for particleboard and MDF, especially MDF. Good demand and no new projects coming into the market during 2022, so we have very good market there. And in terms of particleboard and TFLs, somehow different with some slower demand in the East Coast. In remanufactured wood products, prices reached very high levels, and we expect additional increases due to solid demand in housing, repairing, and remodeling. So, and also there's some limited supply due to some logistical issues and some tariffs and from imported products. Plywood, again, continue to have very good demand. Prices have decreased from the record levels that we saw, but we still have very good prices compared to other years. In terms of housing starts, 1.55 million houses per year, continued a steady advance through the years in terms of new housing in the U.S. Page 17, the other big market is Central and South America, 34%, and here the situation is very good in all of the markets. Brazil, very active in particleboard and MDF. We are reaching record margins and EBITDA in Brazil and also in Chile, very strong. Some supply shortages in some products, and we are increasing prices in MDF and melamine. Some small oversupply in plywood due to shipping delays from Chile in export, but not very good, not very important in Chile. Argentina, the same as the previous quarter, we continue to see good demand, and we have been able to increase prices to offset the inflation and devaluation that is coming continuously in Argentina. Asia, especially China, has been affected by some logistic problems to reach there, but slower demand, especially in solid wood, because of the energy consumption restriction and some problems related to the real estate problems with Evergreen and on that part. Now, if we move to page 18, I look at the free cash flow. We had a good quarter in terms of free cash flow, $171 million of free cash flow. That is coming from a very good EBITDA of $922, offset by the adjustment in working capital variation. That is big because of the payment schedule of the forestry sale that is coming through our cash as the properties are inscribed in the new owner in the property in Chile. We paid lower interest this quarter compared to last quarter. We had some payment of taxes, but again, the cash from operations reflected the good results, and we were able to get $532 million of that. CapEx was a little bit lower, $364 million compared to $400. And in terms of the cash coming from financial activities, of course, it was much lower because in the quarter two, we received the capital injection for $200 million, and this quarter we paid down some debt. So at the end of the day, we were able to reduce net debt by $300 million. That is basically explained by the $171 and some foreign exchange adjustment that help us reduce our debt that is in local currency. In page 19, our cash and liquidity, very good again, $1.3 billion in cash and plus the $335 million that we have in the committed credit facility, up to $1.7 billion in liquidity that we have available at this moment. Page 20, showing the reduction in net debt and, of course, the improvement in our leverage rate that now is 2x. This is explained by the free cash flow and the net debt reduction of $300 million, but also a very good increase in the last 12 months EBITDA that now is running at $2.2 billion. That is a 40% increase quarter over quarter, and that helped us reduce our leverage to 2x, which is now very good for investment grade rate. In page 21, our amortization schedule for the rest of the year, $228 million. For that, $146 million is bank debt, especially in Monte de Plata joint venture that is paying every 6 months the structured debt, and $30 million in leasing. And in bond obligation, we had included in the financial statement as of September, $64 million in amortization and interest payments. Of course, we announced that during October, we paid down $126 million of a bond that was due at the beginning of 2022. We were able to use the provisions included in the indenture to pay 3 months in advance at par value. And so we did that in October, and that of course is not included in financial statements of September, but it's something that we did afterwards. Now, material facts and news. Page 23, we announced the sale of the forestry assets, that is the agreement of price of $343 million that was closed on August 17. We had 31 remaining properties amount to about $30 to $40 million more that will be closed as soon as we can solve some things in the properties that are promised to be sold during the year. And of course, that the effects of that are shown in the financial statement that we already showed. And so the sale of those 430 properties. Page 24, MAPA update. MAPA project is 90% advanced. So we can see a picture of the project there. We were able to do the first steam blow of the power boiler that was successful during the quarter. We are putting a lot of effort in a campaign to get a safe commissioning of the equipment during the commissioning phase of the project. Of course, strengthening our Equipo Previene, which is the name of our project to monitor and supervise in the sanitary protocols in order to avoid contagions of COVID-19. We have for that 5 test centers performing up to 2,000 PCR tests per day. And up to date, we have performed more than 440,000 PCR tests. We have announced during the quarter that we now expect that the project will start up during March of next year, 2020. Page 25, we are showing some photographs of the project. You can see there the DD washers in the left of the picture of the left that are almost done, and some detail about the boiler, cooling tower, and digesters of the mill that now are almost finished over there. Page 26, we made some announcement at COP26 in Glasgow. We announced that we have committed to reduce 1 million tons of emissions of greenhouse gases by 2030. And this plan contemplates three pillars, basically science-based mitigation. We are going to put our effort to replacing fossil fuels in production processes and incorporating clean and renewable energy. One example of that is the recent incorporation of our first electric truck in forestry operations that we are doing right now. We're going to also do conservation and restoration of ecosystems, about 25,000 hectares of native forests that we are restoring as native forests, and also fostering the bioeconomy. So we have assumed a goal to be zero waste by 2030. So this also adds to our goal and that we announced that we were the first carbon neutral forestry company. In fact, we were able to reduce 2.6 million tons of CO2 from the environment as captures during 2018. And also our adherence to the science-based targets and the Race to Zero campaign in order to to incorporate more companies to this challenge of reducing climate change. Page 26, we recently announced at the end of October that we are beginning an environmental impact study in Mexico in order to build a new production line of MDF in Zitácuaro, where we already had a line of PV, a particle board of 160,000 cubic meters. Zitácuaro is very close to Ciudad de México, the DF, about 160 kilometers. So subject to this environmental study and, of course, the authorities and the board of directors, we could be able to double our production capacity of MDF in Mexico, so answering the increasing demand that we are seeing in that market. We estimate that this new MDF line could cost about $200 million. We will know for certain once we finish our studies and engineering studies. And if everything goes well and we get all the approvals, this mill could be start producing during the year 2024. So this new capacity will add to the existing line in Zitácuaro and our Durango mill in the northern part of Mexico, which already produces 250,000 cubic meters of MDF and 155 cubic meters of particle board. Page 28. And the last subsequent event, we paid the dividends that we announced in a material fact. So at the end of October, in October 25th, we paid $200 million. And after that, in November 5th, we paid another $271 million as part of the dividends of 2021. The 271 was the provisory dividends of the result of 2021. And also what we already told you about the redemption of the notes in 2022. Those notes had an interest of 4.75%, and we paid $126 million to amortize those bonds and stop paying the 4.75%. That was done according to the indenture, and of course this is reflects our commitment to reduce our debt and to be in accordance with our investment grade. Page 29, just of this presentation, we had a very good improvement in operation results and a strong cash generation, basically because of good markets and good production in our mills. We reduce our leverage, and we are consistently doing because of investment grade. Our MAPA project is 90% advanced, and we are have a commitment to a safe process of commissioning and startup of the project, and we expect to do that in March next year. And of course, we already talk about our continued engagement in our sustainability strategy, and that reflects in our recently announced commitment in the COP26 to reduce 1 million tons, and also because to our commitment of being the first carbon neutral company and Race to Zero and Science Based Target at least. So in this 32 minutes, we have completed the presentation. Now I would like to open to any questions that we have about this all the proceedings. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from George Staphos with Bank of America. You may go ahead.
Thanks, operator. Hey, Gianfranco, good morning. Thanks for all the details, and congratulations on the quarter. I was hoping you can maybe give us a bit more color on the price trends you're seeing in the fourth quarter, particularly in China. Whatever you can share. And the related question would be, are you seeing any signs that China is trying to ramp up tissue production ahead of the Olympics, for obvious reasons, in terms of then ultimately needing to shut down or lessen industrial production? That might be a reason you're seeing some pull forward on hardwood demand and perhaps better pricing trends there. And then add a couple of quick follow-ons.
Okay, thanks, George. Yes, ma'am, we talk about the reduction in prices. We're quite steep, I will say. We were at high levels and we saw big reductions. Imagine that we were selling at about $800 at the end of last quarter, and now we are selling at $565. So we had a big reduction, especially during July and the low season. And then we saw some big reductions in softwood in November. From October to November, we almost reduced $100. So my impression is that the big adjustments have already been done. We don't expect, especially in short fiber, big adjustments because we are seeing that the prices now are at a very normal level, but 65 and. We should have some increases in activity in China, basically, that will help us. And the tissue market is going well, and one of the main demands for short fiber is tissue. Softwood could have some room to further reductions, a little bit, but probably more than hardwood. And that is explained by the steel difference between both fibers that we have spread. So. My impression that we should be more stable in hardwood and some reduction coming from the lumber. That is more or less what I'm seeing. We are monitoring the activity all the time, and of course the energy restrictions had a big impact in all commodity markets, and we saw that. But at some point, the limits will be obtained, and China will start growing again. The growth of the economy has been lower than we were used to. Of course, it's about 5% now than compared to the 10 or more percent that we saw previous years. But the economy also is bigger, and I think that once we see some of the bottlenecks in logistics being resolved, probably in the next 3 to 6 months, that will help a little bit the movement of exports of paper from China. And we'll put some balance between Europe and China, and that will help stabilizing the prices right now in China. This situation where Europe is still very good demand with high prices, and also the spread between Europe and China, it's unusual. And it's basically because of the restriction of getting containers and ships to move volume to Europe, or from Europe, from China to Europe.
Okay, but I guess just to quickly clear up there, so you're not of the view, or maybe you are of the view, that there's maybe a bit of pull forward on hardwood in China for tissue ahead of the Olympics. So you don't think this is artificial and going to slow down a bit? You think this is normal, or you do think that this is a little bit of pull forward? And then my other question would be, one, when do you expect the premium between Europe and China to close? I know you can't give it with precision, but you know, is this something that lasts for the year, by middle of the year? Your thoughts there, and tell me about the plywood trends you're seeing into North America. Good luck in the quarter.
I don't have any information about the effects of the same in the Olympics and the tissue. What we're seeing is that the tissue market didn't have a lot of impact of the energy restrictions. So that we're seeing a better demand from tissue. I will expect that it will continue to be good, but I don't have a lot of information what the impact will be. In terms of the premium between Europe and China, it's very hard to tell. I would say that everyone is talking that the logistic problems will not be easy to solve, and probably it will take about 6 months to resolve. So I don't expect to that situation to be solved in the next 3 months. I would say 3 to 6 months, something like that. But something that we have to be monitoring. And the other question was about, I was saying plywood, probably. The
plywood into the States, yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, I mean, we think that is normalizing. Plywood is not a big volume. I mean, it's a premium product and with good margins, and we are trying to expedite the shipments of plywood from Chile. At some point, we were prioritizing a little bit more pulp coming out because to be able to ship to our clients. And now we are moving a little bit more wood products, and we were moving more plywood in order to comply with the deliveries in the state. So I will expect that increase in stock will normalize very, very quickly in Chile. It's not a big volume and a good margin, so we'll deliver to our clients very soon during the quarter.
Thank you very much, Gianfranco.
Our next question comes from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. You may go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I hope everyone is well. I have a couple of questions on my side. So first, a follow-up on Chinese pulp market dynamics, especially on very recent developments in terms of demand, if there has been any registered improvement in the order book, and also what is your perception of how inventory levels are of both pulp and finished paper products in China. That would be helpful. And the second one on the dissolving wood pulp market. Prices have been very resilient. In the presentation, you mentioned that there was some capacity shutdowns recently or capacity curtailments. Do you have a perception of how much capacity has actually been curtailed? And also, if you could comment on your outlook for the market in 2022, considering all the new capacity that has been entering the market, that would be also very interesting to hear. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Isabella. I don't have any information of recently developed in China, more than that I've already told. The feeling that the prices have reached probably close to the bottom, and we could see some reductions, but not the size that we have seen. So I cannot comment about the recent developments because I don't have a really good information of what's happening really right now in China. In terms of the dissolving pulp, I don't have information about the amount of capacity curtail. What we have seen is that the increase in cost, in raw material cost and some energy have put some pressure in the production of the dissolving pulp. My impression is that the demand for long term should be good because of the quality of the product, the benefits of environmentally of the products that are produced by dissolving pulp, clothing especially. So I will expect that the long term will be good. The reduction in prices has been low. I mean, we still have good prices. I mean, $950 is a good price. And for us, it's a very good alternative for the production in Valdivia. So it's much better than producing hardwood, and our margins are very good. So I don't expect that market to collapse very soon. So I will expect that the margins will continue to be good next year. Of course, there's some swing capacity moving from paper capacity to dissolving, but we will see how that goes and plays out during 2022.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Marcio Farid with Goldman Sachs. You may go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the details, Gianfranco. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on MAPA. Gianfranco, now targeting March 2022 startup is basically nearly a one-year delay in the project, right? How confident are you that are we not going to be seeing another pushback of the project startup? And if you can provide more details on the reasons for this recent startup timing. Is it just COVID reducing efficiency of the construction site, or is there anything else that we should be aware of as well? And my second question is just a follow-up to Isabella's questions on dissolving wood pulp. How has it been running in terms of annualized sales? for your dissolving pulp production at Valdivia. If I'm not mistaken, capacity is 500,000 tons. I mean, it would be helpful if you can provide us some details in terms of how much was sold in the fourth quarter or how much you expect to sell going into 2022 as well. And thirdly, sorry, if you allow me, I just wanted to check with you how you're seeing wood products and especially wood panels momentum in terms of earnings, sustainability, especially in Brazil, Chile, but also in the U.S. as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Marcio. Of course, yes. I mean, we have been talking for many quarters about the startup of MAPA, and I'm not happy about the delayment of the day of MAPA starting in May. But the problem, I've been explaining in all the conference calls is COVID. I mean, construct a big project with more than 9,000 people working day and some of them at night in a site without getting a lot of contagious and with all the restrictions that are imposed in Chile is very hard. And that has hurt productivity, especially in construction, because all the equipment and everything came very early and without any problem. The situation was coordinating and four construction companies on site with 9,000 people with the extra cost and the loss of productivity of having separations in construction and all that. So normally these projects get delayed, but the delay was bigger because of the COVID problem. And was also the only big project in Chile that didn't stop construction during COVID. We have some mining project that had to stop for some time. And so it was very hard and challenging to construct this big project in Chile with the restrictions of COVID that we have in this country. Probably in other countries have less restrictions, but here we were very careful in trying to maintain very low contagious in people and to protect the people in construction. So that's why we was delayed. How confident I am? Of course, once we get closer to the date, now we're 90% is easy to project, and we expect that on March we will be able to do that. Of course, anything can happen, but probably the delays will be not as big as we announced, and we will be able to start producing. I'm more confident than I was last year, during this year, sorry, in the date. But of course, anything can happen, but we'll keep you posted. And now we are very close, and we have testing machine. The amount of people in the construction will be going down as we move to a commissioning state, so it will be easier to construct with lower people in the site. So I'll expect that to improve.
That's great, thank you.
In terms of sales of dissolving pulp, the capacity is 500,000 tons. We have made some campaigns of hardwood during the year. We had some quality issues during the year that we had to produce hardwood to stop the machine to improve the quality. Roughly we have been producing about 80 something thousand tons per. Okay, and because we did some campaigns of hardwood, we expect that now we will concentrate on producing only dissolving pulp. As I told you, the differential in price is very good and makes a lot of sense to produce dissolving rather than hardwood. So we expect next year to produce the 500,000 tons. This year was more challenging because of the quality and that we were producing, and that we had to produce some hardwood. And in terms of wood products momentum, about the start of the year, we thought that September was going to, at least in September now, we are quite confident that the momentum continues, and I would say that it's still there, and the demand is still very strong. We're producing 100% in our mills, and I would say that at least the first quarter of next year should be good, and let's hope that continues that way. But the movement to work online from housing, the extra liquidity that is in the market is putting everyone to remodeling their kitchen, the houses. So we're seeing strong demand, especially in panels and wood products in North America. The only, as I told you, dark cloud that we saw is demand from some timber in China, which is not very important for us. But the rest of the markets are continue going strong, and we think that as governments continue to invest in infrastructure, in things to recover the economy, it will help us to maintain the momentum for market. But at least I would say the first quarter of next year will be good, and probably the second quarter also. So we'll keep you updated in each conference call.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for the detail, Gianfranco.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Hernan Kislev with MetLife. You may go ahead.
Good morning, Gianfranco, and congratulations on these exceptional results for the quarter. I have two questions. The first one is actually a follow-on on the previous one regarding the wood product. So I understand that it seems that demand continues to be very strong. But I'm curious about prices, that they are already at very strong levels, record high levels. So I would like to get more color. Maybe if you think that directionally they will continue rising or they will stabilize going forward. And then the second question is about your net positive carbon balance. If you think that down the road you will have the opportunity to monetize this kind of assets that you have in some way. Those are my questions.
Okay, Hernan. Well, we are continuing seeing a good momentum in Chile in terms of demand. I personally don't think that prices will continue to go up a lot, but if we stay at these prices, it will be a very good result for Chile. So we are hoping to maintain the volume of production, and prices are very high. I don't see a lot of room for improvement, but anything can happen. But we are not counting on that. We're counting on probably stable prices and maintaining the volume, and if we can keep the amount of EBITDA that we're getting from the wood pulp division will be, I mean, great, exceptional. So that is good enough for me, I would say. In terms of the net capture that we are doing, we are not monetizing the all of that because there's not really a market for monetizing the capture that is coming from a forest and that is maintaining a wood products yet, because it's right now, it's very hard to measure that in terms of to be a lot of the objective. The methodology has been recently developed. We helped in doing that and we certified by third parties or capture, but it's not very common in the industry yet. So we are not expecting to monetize that yet. We are monetizing for many years the production of green energy that is based on biomass that we are certified in the Kyoto Protocol, and we have been selling CERs for many years. But that is, I would say, a small part of the total capture. And the prices are going up a little bit, but not very big still in the CERs. But I would say that probably in the future will be a big market for carbon sequestration, and that is one of the aims of the COP26, to develop more of that market, to probably increase the price of carbon, to incentivize more companies to reduce their carbon emission, and that of course will help us at some point, but at this point we're not monetizing that reduction.
Thank you very much.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, again, thank you all for attending this conference call for the results. As usual, we are available for any further questions in our investor relations department, and we'll see for the end of the year results, probably sometime in during March. So bye, and thank you all for attending again.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.